You're listening to Tales of the Old Republic, a Gare Bear TVO original broadcast. Chapter 1, A New Beginning. Episode 1, written and directed by Jonathan Krebs.
Various reasons, most of them being legal, we cannot actually do a crawl. You know, the Star Wars thing where it's... You have to envision the enormous Star Wars text fading into a field of stars. And then Tales of the Old Republic, Episode 1. And then another wall of text begins. Emerging from the ashes of the Republic fleet, Darth Revan has returned, subjugating vast swaths of the galaxy behind the might of his infinite fleet and claiming Coruscant as his prize. Outnumbered and outgunned, the tattered remnants of the Republic have fled to the Outer Rim, waiting for a chance to strike back. Pursued by the insidious Sith, a desperate task force races behind enemy lines, looking to even the odds and bring light back to the galaxy. And that wall of text slowly fades into the darkness of space. And a moment passes, and then the camera tilts down from the glittering of stars, and we see a scattered graveyard of Republic ships, lifeless in the dark of space. Fires burn low in the hold of a small dead freighter. A single body floats past, burned beyond recognition. A hammerhead cruiser rushes into frame, badly damaged, with only one engine firing. Suddenly, a turbo laser blast arcs into frame, tearing a hole in the unshielded ship. We hear static as the frigate attempts a desperate distress call.
The Republic starship Zeta Reticuli. Imminent destruction. All hands evacuate.
And the static crescendos with a woman's scream as another turbo laser blast smashes into the ship's midsection. One by one, we see compartments come alight as the frigate explodes, sending arcs of light in all directions. A looming, hulking, Leviathan-class capital ship slowly flies into frame, Sith fighters spilling out of its hangar bays and flying through the flames of the frigate's explosion. The camera follows the ships and shows over a dozen escape pods racing down towards a cloud-covered world, lightning flashing every few seconds. The Sith fighters are much faster and overtake them within moments. Each pod begins using what little navigation systems they have in rudimentary attempts to evade the incoming blasts. As the Sith close in, one pod goes up in flames. Then another. And another. Two pods unwittingly navigate into each other, exploding in a brilliant firestorm that takes out a single Sith fighter. Three more pods are destroyed. The rest are nearly in the atmosphere, the Sith hot on their heels and blasting away. One by one, each pod falls into the cloud. The majority of the fighters break off their attack. But a single fighter dives into the clouds, giving chase to a lone pod that had broken off from the larger group. Rain pelts the exterior of pod and fighter alike. Within the pod, five frightened individuals see laser fire just past the window of their small craft. Camera cuts to the inside of the Sith fighter. We hear the breath of the Sith pilot, and a moment later he says, "I have you now," as his targeting system locks onto the pod. We hear the frantic calls of his squadron, urging him to break off the pursuit and get back above the clouds. He slams the comms off, then grasps the gun's controls. He presses the button. Suddenly, a bolt of lightning strikes his fighter's wing, sending the laser blast flying off in the distance and the fighter careening to the ground below. The pod continues its descent unabated, breaking through the crowd line and smashing into a pile of aged junk and scrap metal. Smoke billows from the crash, and a few hours pass. One by one, our cast begins to awaken. Mackenzie, if you would like to introduce your character.
My character is calling out... He's awakening right now. Bit of a slender build to him. Trimmed beard, a bit graying.
And so you stir awake and you look over. You notice that you've never really seen any of the individuals that you're in the pod with. The ship that you had been on, the Zeta Reticuli, boasted a full crew. So it's possible that you could go like your entire service duty without seeing any of these individuals. But you look to your right and you see an Ithorian stirs awake. Right in that moment. And Phil, if you'd like to introduce your character.
Yeah. the communications media manipulator that said Thorian has in its pocket. It communicates that his name is Hex Hellion, the renegade janitor slash mechanic who tilts his head sideways that in a way belies deep insecurities. Otherwise, he is a mystery.
All right. And across the pod, we see three more humanoids, and we can just introduce them one by one. So, Gary, if you'd like to introduce your character.
Human, male, early 30s, and he's actually wearing a Republic officer outfit. Slim body, just average build, nothing too fancy about him, but he looks like a pretty boy. He looks like he shouldn't be a part of this problem.
Interesting. So one of the Ryans, whoever feels brave enough.
but I'll go first. Another male human steps out, about 6 foot tall, medium, slim build, brown hair, and with a scar on the left side of his face running from about his eye. Also wearing a Republic officer uniform. He looks like he's been into a couple fights.
And so that would bring us to our last cast member.
That would be my character's name's Pax. So he's a humanoid male, just under 6 foot. Average lean build, definitely not battle worn. He's pretty new to this type of thing.
All right. So as you all sort of stumble awake, you recognize that the crash sort of had an effect and you all suffer 2 strain. I just realized that I need everyone to roll a force dice real fast.
Which is what good. Okay.
So it would be the white one with like the circles on the 2 sides.
Oh, good job, Pavi.
And I'm, like, seeing a bunch of stuff in this dice rolling app that, like, I'm not seeing on the, like, screen, like, in Twitch. I'm, like, seeing a bunch of dice rolls from Kish.
I realized that the arrows are to the left of the picture, not the right. So that's why I was rolling a D100.
I just don't want to make sure I missed anything. It looks like, Phil, you rolled 2 light side, and it looks like Pavi rolled 1 dark side. Phil is the purple P. He got 2 light side, and... Mm-hmm. Mackenzie, did you happen to roll?
Yeah, he had 3 single whites, which is interesting.
And Kish.
So, yeah, I was 1 white.
Gary, you rolled?
1 single dark.
Okay, so 4 light and 2 dark. Sweet. And for those of you who have not played this system, we have just generated our destiny pool, which I encourage all of you to use throughout. So the way that it works is that you guys get to use the light side points, moments that you so choose, and you don't really need my approval unless it's like something crazy. But what it allows you to do is sort of function as the dungeon master for a split second. I can do that with dark side points, though. But the way that it works is that when you use a light side point, it becomes a dark side point for me to use. And when I use a dark side point, it becomes a light side point for you to use. You net positive for the first session. So the 5 of you sort of, you're stirring awake and you hear the sound of the rain pelting outside of the escape pod. You look around and you notice that the 6th individual who had been in the pod is a little bit worse for wear. There was a droid that had managed to find its way into the escape pod, a protocol droid. Its head actually came off in the crash and it's lying in the center of the floor of the pod. There doesn't seem to be any, like, external damage, but whatever happened to make that happen has deactivated the droid. You don't see any, like, light behind the eyes. It's just a lifeless head laying in the center of the floor. And so, one by one, you begin to unstrap and take stock. And so, is there anything that you would individually like to do in this moment? Yeah, I thought that I was going to maybe hate it, but I think I'm going to love it. There's no reason for this to be, like, wholly serious, so you go for it.
Is he going, or...?
Nah, if there's anything that any of you would like to individually do, or...
Is there any type of a computer screen or anything inside the pod?
Yeah, so there's a small readout, which... And there's, like, a little, like, keyboard sort of thing, which is how you were very, very rudimentarily navigating when you were falling to try and escape the blasts of the Sith fighter that had been pursuing you. And the screen has gone dark. You're not sure if it's from the crash or just the power having gone out or something. And then you notice actually on either side of the readout, there are 2 sort of satchels like locked into place on the wall.
So you said there's nothing on the screen?
It's gone dark.
Can I mess with it? See if I can get it to kick back on?
Yeah, I mean, you can try a mechanics check. Give me average.
Average is what?
2 purple die.
So yeah, I don't know if you guys can see it, but it looks like I rolled a success and an advantage.
So taking stock and like making sure that all of your items are in place, you start to fidget around with this readout and you pull out like a little bit of thing. I assume you have like a toolkit.
Yeah, I have a toolkit. Yeah.
Right. So you like crack that open a little bit and then like just unscrewing some things in the side panel on the side of the readout. And you see that there are just a few shorts. So you sort of just flick the switch and there's a moment actually where you feel like something bad is about to happen and a static, like a little shock actually flows and you take your hand out right at the last second and then the readout pops open. In doing that, you recover one strain.
Sick.
And the readout is now displaying a status report of the ship, which, you know, is gone. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't say anything and it's just waiting for an input.
There's no input. There's no maps or any functions like that?
There's some icons that you could potentially click on. Yeah, I guess I'll say that you like sift around in it and there's some rudimentary mapping interface. You can give it a little click and it displays like a slight geological readout of the area, but mm-hmm. it's having a little bit of trouble scanning the area and you're not entirely sure why that would.
Probably because there's no uplink. Well, I don't know where we're at.
This is a very talkative Athorian. I like that you guys haven't introduced yourselves to one another yet. This is my favorite thing.
Yeah, but I'm calling for the droid's head.
Okay. So the Athorian sort of unclasps himself and picks up the droid's head and like you just look at it and it's like fairly reminiscent of any other protocol droid's head. It's just there's no life within or...
All right.
Is there anything you'd like to do or...
I'm not sure. I think no. I just want the head.
So the droid's just sitting there, right? Like it's not. Is it just a head or is it a whole body?
The body is strapped in, and so when the pod crashed into the planet, the head must have like disconnected.
All right. So what I'm doing is I'm holding the head, but staring off pensively into the distance.
Okay. So I'll say that you're just looking off and out of the window of the pod because the pod hasn't actually been opened yet. So you're just like
correct.
Looking up into the sky, and there's some storm clouds. It's still raining and everything.
So I assume because it's a protocol droid, it probably has some sort of memory core inside of it. I just store knowledge, eh?
That would be a fair assumption.
Would I be able to figure out if I could see if there's any life left in the bank at least? To make sure it's not totally dead?
Yeah, I'd say that you could probably try a mechanics or...
Do I see him doing that? Of course I probably see him doing
that. Yeah. I mean, you're all very close to one another.
I'm going to look at mechanics right now, yeah, and ask him if he needs a hand.
Yeah. Okay, so that would be, you'd get a boost die if you wanted to pursue this.
I'm Pax, by the way.
My name is Waylon, but nice to meet you.
It's going to be another average mechanics check, and you can add a boost die because Pax is aiding you in this.
Two purple?
Two purple, yeah. So the two of you take a moment to like fidget around and you pull the droid actually out and like you unstrap it and everything and you stand it up. You see that there was no real external damage to it, but you're having a little bit of trouble interfacing with the inner mechanics. You're not sure if maybe it's a little protected or there's some decryption ciphers within, but it seems like this might require more than just some elbow grease. Do you have a data pad?
No, I do not.
Then probably
not. All I have. All
and our first light point was used. I have a data pad.
I mean,
but don't do that. Don't. I'm going to say this protocol droid is done.
Except for his head, which is my pet now.
He's obviously shell-shocked right now. He's just...
Instead of using a data pad, could we use the computer on the escape pod or no?
Wait, who are you?
I'm an officer, sir.
We're going to pull rank right now?
Oh, yeah. What is everyone's perceived rank in the Republic? I assume that Ryan, like Kish, you're probably like just fairly low.
Dude, yeah, I just entered, man. I'm like a little mechanic. I don't even register on the rank. You
know? I don't think Phil is even like in the military structure.
Why was he on the ship?
Doesn't matter. Did you actually say that, Pavi?
Yeah.
I mean, then it's out there. This is not my decision to make.
Yeah, I just look at Waylon. I'm like,
as they're doing that,
where everybody else landed.
Can I take out my general purpose scanner? And I'm going to like scan for any heat signatures around us.
Okay. Do you know if I have another range on that?
It is unidirectional, so I have to like point. So I'm like pointing outside like the pod door.
Okay, yeah. Around. Yeah, go for it. you start like a very basic scan, standard stuff that you might have as a Republic officer or soldier, so it's nothing like too crazy powerful. And you do detect actually two small heat signatures, one about rough 20-25 meters to the east, and another maybe 40 meters to the north.
Like they're coming towards us?
Not that you can detect.
So I'm going to put the scanner away and get my blaster out and look at the group, say, we got some company, maybe? Let's be on our toes.
And who are you?
Oh, yeah.
And after he says that, I'm just be like, I'm an officer. Let's be on our toes. We don't have to worry about who I am.
Well, we just crash landed I'm kind of concerned as to who the hell you people are.
Well, right now, we have Sith coming after us. We don't need to worry about that until we get into a safe place.
I say we open the fucking hatch. So we're not inside the one spot that they can see.
Is he actually saying that? thanks. I got that. I took it as an elective. I know exactly what he meant.
Can somebody tell me as to why an Thorian is here with us?
I'm just opening the pod door.
Oh, wait, hey, I'm going to grab those satchels. What's in them?
So they are two wilderness survival kits, actually, and you take a quick glance through, you see that each of them contains a thermal cloak. One of them contains a multi-tool, the other a survival knife. They each contain a distress beacon. They each contain two emergency comm links. Each of them contains a spool of wire, ration bars, a basic med pack, two respirators, a water jug with a filter, a glow rod, and 50 meters of high tensile microfiber line.
Like, I was writing it down and I got through like six and I was like, shit.
I'm just going to copy and paste it.
No, you're good. You're good. I'll give one to Wayland.
So these are five encumbrance.
All right. Does anyone not have a backpack?
I don't think I have
a backpack. Other officer? I don't know his name.
I already have a backpack.
Fine. I'll put it out. I'll just fit it in my backpack. I don't know if anyone wants a satchel, but I'll put it in.
Each of these is five encumbrance. If you're holding both of them, that's 10 encumbrance.
No, I'm just holding one of them.
Okay. All right.
You said five.
I can't do backpacks because I need to breathe through my back.
Dude, does he get like a fanny pack? The satchel goes on the front.
Yeah, great look. So yeah, no one knows anyone's name yet. So I'm a couple.
Oh, I said my name's Waylon, and I'm
not gonna refer to anyone by their name until like they've all introduced. Gary pods door and it gives way with a slight hiss. And rain immediately begins to pelt you. It's very heavy at this point, and like your face is drenched. You step out and you look around, and there's all manner of just junk littering the ground for miles in all directions. And high above, you see dark, dark storm clouds. You step out onto some durasteel, and one by one, all five of you begin to do the same. You look around, you notice enormous, mile-high, quote-unquote, mountains of junk that dot the horizon, and from several kilometers away, you see a wisp of smoke billowing into the rain clouds above in the general area of one of these mountains of junk.
Which way were the two heat signatures coming from again?
One was roughly about 20-25 meters to the east, and then one was roughly 30 meters to the north. You saddle up, you know, you each have your arms and weapons or whatever, and you walk around like you're not sure where you are at all, so it's a little on edge. And you meander your way through and past a few junk piles. Looking down at your sensor, you see that whatever this life signature is directly beyond maybe 8-10 feet high, directly in your path. But then, like, there's obviously some path around.
Is it, like, climbable-ish, or...? It is raining, so that's
what I got you.
Does it look like a pod crashed in front of us?
You're not sure. The junk pile is fairly wide, so it's hard to, like, get a good look around, unless you were to step a bit either the left or right.
I will climb up.
So, I think that's just athletics. Give me a simple athletics check with a setback die. Nothing at all.
Nothing happened.
You stand there. I don't know.
What happens?
I mean, that's essentially a failure without a failure. So you start to like work your way up, and then you just sort of slide back down. It's hard for you to get a like easy grip because all of the junk is, you know, some pieces are large, some people are small, and it's not like very well fit in together. It's essentially just a trash pile.
I can give it a shot.
All right, so the same exact roll.
I did it.
Nice.
Judy did it!
So, you're a fairly muscular sort. So, you make your way a bit more successfully than your companion, who is as yet unnamed. And you climb up to the very top, very precariously stand, because, like, it's a little rickety. And you look down cautiously on the other side, and you see a small sort of squirrel-like creature skittering in between some pieces of metal that it has turned into a nest.
So the only thing I see when I peek over is just a squirrel?
Yes. So when he yelled that, the creature actually like sort of, and you actually all hear it sort of do that from the other side, because the pile of trash is not that dense, and you sort of just hear a skittering, and Bron makes his way back down.
But the only thing I saw when I was up there, guys, is this little creature. It was kind of skittering around. It went inside the junk pile. So wait, I didn't see where the smoke was coming from or anything?
Oh yeah, no, you would have. I'm sorry. I just thought you were like looking directly down, and then that was like what you're doing. So yeah, you would have had a slightly better glimpse, and you see actually that the smoke doesn't seem to be emanating from a fire. It's sort of some white smoke. You can make out roughly, it's still maybe about, say, a kilometer, kilometer and a half away, but the area you're at is like got a lot of these small junk piles. So once you're on top of one, you can sort of see over all of them. And you see some like ramshackle buildings set up against the largest of these trash mountains, as it were.
You guys want to try to check out the other one or keep moving forward?
Are we in any like sort of danger from the Sith ship that was chasing us a moment ago?
Most likely.
That was hours ago. You guys were knocked out for a while. And if you need some context, the groups of escape pods, your pod happened to break off. And you would have seen that in the crawl or whatever. So you were all on a small armada of Republic ships, like you were on one of the ships. And you're on a secret mission. The mission itself was sort of unknown to you. You were just doing what needs to be done.
In the outer rim, right?
Yeah, you're deep in the outer room. A Sith interdictor fleet actually pulled you out of hyperspace. Your armada was summarily destroyed, and that's how you ended up in the escape pod.
Just to recap, how far were these interdictors from us?
So this one from your pod, what the one that you're like currently near, was about 25 meters away. The other one was about 30, 35 in a northern direction.
Oh, okay.
And we can assume that that one heat signature we went to is that squirrel.
Yeah, it was in that. It was literally right on the scanner. Was leading you directly towards that creature. So,
okay. Well, I say we keep moving.
Yeah, we should probably start moving towards wherever that smoke is.
Don't everyone speak all at once.
Do we have any idea of like the day cycle? Like, is it like, does it seem like morning, night, evening?
So the cloud cover is extremely dense and thick, and so you really don't. It's dark, and there's a bit of light, the tiniest bit of light that's sneaking through the clouds, but you don't know if that's just ever present, because you didn't have the time to realize if there were twin suns in the system, or...
Oh, okay. And there was no, like, information I gained from the screen earlier?
So just the rough geological data.
So nothing. Okay.
Yeah. It's rock hard underneath all of this junk. You're not sure how far down it goes, actually.
Well, we should probably get away from this crash site.
Probably serving the area here soon.
Yeah, we should probably get going.
So you don't seem to recognize too much about this planet. And in your travels, you really haven't been to any worlds like this. But you do remember, actually, when you were on the Zeta Reticuli, like you were racing to the escape pods and happened to rush past the command deck, and you overheard some like scattered shouting and screaming. And there was a woman that was trying to like figure out where you were, and she mentioned the Edrax system. So no mention of the planet itself, but that was like a snippet of conversation that you overheard. And so, what are our brave cast of characters going to do?
I think Wayland and I decided we're gonna go towards the smoke.
Okay.
Yeah. Is everybody coming? Unless anybody knows something else. Because, I mean, we weren't the only ones that probably hit the atmosphere, so...
Okay.
Sounds like logic to me.
So, meandering in the general direction of the smoke, you make your way past a scarred landscape full of junk and just debris and actually even remains of several spacecraft. You look to the what would be the left, and you actually see sort of half of a what would be this era's equivalent of a Star Destroyer, just sort of plunged deep down into the depths of the junk. You see the back end of it essentially sticking out, and the going is fairly rough due to the ever-present rainfall. If you have hoods, you sort of prick them up, otherwise you're just left to the elements. And as you get closer to the smoke, you see that it's a settlement of sorts. A fairly average-sized smattering of buildings built out of some of the scrap metal. It seems like people are possibly living in, like, old decrepit starcraft that spacecraft that sort of just landed here or were brought here or whatever. So you make your way up to the outer edges of this settlement, and there's a defunct speeder that you can sort of stand behind and get a good view of the place. And you see several individuals milling about, and they don't seem to be wearing any insignia. There's no like Sith troopers walking around the place or anything. They're wearing like, you see some humans. There's actually a little gang of about 4 Rodians that sort of rushes into the place real fast. Thankfully no blaster fire erupts, and I'd say anywhere from 14 buildings. And the smoke is coming from the largest of these, which is actually the fairly old freighter parked underneath one of these mountains of junk. And they had just sort of turned the back end of it, you know, the cargo bay, into some type of establishment or something.
How far away are we from it?
I'd say right now you're within visual range of all of this, so only just 100 feet, 150 feet, but you're keeping your distance right now to scout the place out or whatever.
I kind of want to see more of the area itself, so I kind of want to surveil a little bit.
Just a perception, probably.
Okay.
And we'll make that average, but I'm going to upgrade one of the die to a red die. All right. So that's a lot of successes. incredible amount of successes.
He knows the entire geography. He knows their intent.
You sort of skulk around a little bit, and you leave the party behind for a split second, and you actually see that there are 2 sort of landing pads, quote unquote, because, you know, this is just a junk world or whatever, so like, but they're just cleaned areas, and you see that they're both around the edge of the mountain of junk. One directly behind it, so like directly on the other side of the village, and another one just a bit further on. And in the one that's directly closest to you, you see sort of light freighter and some Rodians just rushing around. And sort of, they seem frantic for some reason.
This is a junk planet. There must be some way to get the hell out of this place.
Yeah, probably.
But I'm kind of worried about how they're going to take kindly to us from public folk.
So as an Ithorian, I'm interested in the types of fauna that we're seeing. What the fuck are the Rodians doing? Like, what's their deal?
Wait, are you saying that they're the fauna that you're interested in?
Yes.
I love this. You see that they're just sort of rushing back and forth to the landing pad that you presumably like learned about. Some of them seem to be carrying things out of the settlement every so often.
Okay, so I make an urgent noise.
You all hear this.
We're just like, ah.
I feel like we should probably be following those Rodians.
I think we should be following the Rodians.
All right, that's majority rules, I guess.
I'm gonna. Can I pull Officer Braun aside?
The other 3 individuals are gonna sort of just start to walk away, but you have a moment. Like you're following at a distance. We'll say.
Remember, really, really don't care about these people. So if they die, they die.
I'm trying to get off this planet.
Yeah. So you got to get out of here first.
They could be cannon fodder for us as we steal the Rodian ship.
that would be Bantha fodder.
Yeah, I'm just gonna tell them that. Just continue our way.
It's nice to meet you. I'm Wayland.
And so you're just carrying this droid's head the whole time. Like,
that's correct.
Is it just under an arm or something, or like?
Yep.
All right, I love it. Thank you. the three of you, followed at a distance by Braun and his companion, make your way generally towards the landing zone. And you see actually some people in the settlement sort of, they notice this because it's a wide open landscape and they see you sort of walking around. They don't make anything of it. And then they go back to their business. And as you get closer, a couple of the Rodians sort of just continue on their way.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I can talk to them.
So you're going to go talk to them. We're going to go off and find the nearest cantina. Do I have a cantina around here somewhere?
There's always a watering hole.
I guess I'll walk with them.
So the five of you now sort of just get a moment's glance at the landing pad, and you see that the Rodians are frantically throwing these crates and barrels and whatever have you onto this light freighter.
Imagine if we could smuggle ourselves off, land it in those crates. Do you think they'd be big enough?
It's possible.
We can always ask first.
You know what? Let's go approach the Rodians. They don't seem like they're that busy. They seem frantic enough that they might be able to help us out.
I'll start walking up, remove my hat to the Rodians, and I'm just going to say, excuse me, gentlemen or ladies.
They each give you sort of cursory glances. There's three of them that are relatively close when you say this. One of them gestures to the other ones to continue whatever they're doing. You hear it say in Rodian.
Do you know what planet this is? I'm very lost. I just kind of bumped my head and I just very hazy.
Paraxia, the Junkin Jewel.
Do you guys like to smuggle things?
Sort of looks over each of your clothing. No. No, I don't think that we do.
I offer them the droid head.
Let's not offer them the droid head.
So the Ithorian sort of just starts to do that, and then Waylon sort of just pulls his hand back.
No, don't worry. I'm not any Republic officer. No, I stole this. I found this.
No. So the Rodian completely sees through your act, and that sort of plays against your ego a little bit, and you suffer a strain. The Rodian's going to sort of give you a dirty look and then just say, if you're looking for transport off-world, they might be able to help you in Junka's Point. And like sort of gestures his head over towards the smattering of buildings set up against the Junk Mountain. He just turns away, dirtiest look on his face.
One last question for you. Where's the local watering hole?
You can try Skeever's or Unka's Den. There's two in there. He sort of puts a hand on his blaster.
Oh, there's no need for that. We'll be on our way now.
I'm already halfway there.
And you sort of, there's no wall or anything. This is like just a smattering of buildings. It's like any Wild West town. Buildings are smattered around the place. And you see that most of them are like ramshackle or constructed out of like whatever Durasteel they could salvage. But then, as I said, there were a couple that actually are repurposed either ships or parts of ships. And the smoke is coming from the largest of these. So you're just all standing in the midst of this settlement. Not heavily populated, but there's a good number of like rough and tumble looking people walking around, giving you odd looks and generally letting you know that they don't want whatever you're selling.
What do we need information about?
Well, wouldn't hurt to see if we can find some safe passage to where we gotta go. Do we even know where we have to go? Do we even know the direction?
Do we know where we're going?
As I said, the mission was a secret.
I'm confused why the rest of you aren't as interested in the droid skull as I am.
Right now, we already have two spots and go to get off planet. We also don't know in which direction that is.
Even if we get off planet, where are we going?
Well, maybe we could find out many rumors that we heard of the watering hole.
Let's go.
That seems like great work for an Ithorian. Right,
are you all wearing Republic stuff right now?
I think at least three of you are.
I don't think any of my clothes have anything on them. It's probably just like heavy like technician or like mechanic clothing.
Mm. Okay.
Can I rip my insignias off my clothing?
Yeah.
I'll do that.
That's a disgrace to the Republic.
I am a disgrace to the Republic.
I'll also do the same.
Yeah, they are. They did it, though. They just sort of have, like, weird holes and stuff on, like, their biceps. And you just toss them in the dirt.
I'd say the best way to do is maybe try to at least cover our tracks as best as we can. We obviously didn't do a whole lot with the Rodians, but we can at least try to with our insignias.
Is there a fire or something? Just toss it in there.
Is there a fire around?
Is there, like, a fire? Like, around, like, a...
Yeah, there's a barrel full of fire.
Of course there is.
It's a there you go.
I burn it.
Well, are there any like down and out disenfranchised people around those barrels?
There's a couple people just sitting around, and they seem to be a little bit worse for wear. They are wearing some really dirty rags.
I think these guys need a whole new makeover.
I'll walk up to the... excuse me.
I'm just going to watch bemusedly.
Okay, well, I'm going to approach the group there. I'm going to ask them how they're... How's the night going, fellas?
They sort of give you world-weary looks. You get the sense that even on a world like this, it sucks being homeless.
Can they just take any cabin from a ship, though? I mean, like...
They could. Maybe they don't for a reason.
I'm gonna make a deal with you guys. First person give me their coat, I'll give you this coat right here. It's pretty nice.
One of the Celestin jumps up and throws you his tattered rags, and you see what is the horrifying figure of a Celestin, because he's completely naked underneath. And you toss him your jacket, and so basically what you have now is it's just like a frayed piece of cloth, but it's essentially like a robe.
Okay, is there any like dirt or soot like around the barrel of fire?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna grab some soot and rub it on my face. All right, let's go to the watering hole.
I'll approach the other group too, and I'll move to say, for 25 credits, I'll trade you my clothes for yours, whoever wants it.
Humans give each other some looks. 25 credits?
You know what? I'll double it. I'll make it 50.
All right. They both start to pull off their clothes, and they thankfully have, you know, some, like, other clothes on underneath. They're not completely in the nude as the Celestin was, and they give you both of their tattered rags.
Give one set to Bron, and I'll put the other one on.
Thanks. Do they smell? Are they gonna let us in?
Oh yeah, they don't smell particularly great.
All right, fellas, let's go to the watering hole.